يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تعالى: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders and brothers, the month of Ramadan has almost or virtually dawned upon us. This is the month regarding which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, awwaluhu rahmah wa awsatuhu maghfira wa akhiru itkum minan niran. That the first part of the month of Ramadan, the first 10 days, is where the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends upon the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is the first part of the month of Ramadan is where we also have to express mercy. Express mercy to one another, because we are now gaining and receiving mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and together with that we express mercy to others also. See, like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the famous hadith of Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages that at the time of iftar we should try to feed a fasting person in order to express that mercy. Some of the Sahaba kiram asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we do not have the means to feed a fasting person every day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even one date, one khajur, or a sip of water, or a glass of milk, even that will suffice. So it is a month wherein we have to express mercy, kindness, generosity, because it is that part or that month wherein the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending. وَأَوْسَتُهُ مَغْفِرَةً. And the middle 10 days, the middle part of the month of Ramadan, is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives many people. The first 10 days of the month of Ramadan, a person exerts himself with taraweeh, with fasting, tilawat of the Quran, dua, istighfar, tawbah. So by the next 10 days, he is now getting freed of his gunas and sin. He is gaining the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَوْسَتُهُ مَغْفِرَةً. And not only that, from our side, we should be freeing our hearts from any hatred, animosity with regard to anybody else. And we should be forgiving people also. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving us. And we in turn should be removing all forms of malice, jealousy, hatred, etc. from our hearts. And forgiving all those that have wronged us. وَآخِرُهُ إِتْكُمْ مِنَ النِّرَانِ. And the last part of the month of Ramadan is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gives guarantee and certificate to many people that you are free from the fire of Jahannam. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we receive that certificate, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that guarantee that we will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. This month of Ramadan is that month which Sahaba kiram looked forward to. They say 6 months prior to the dawning of the month of Ramadan, Sahaba ikram used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, let us see the month of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself taught the ummah a dua, Allah mabarik lana fi rajab wa shaban wa balighna Ramadan. The dua he taught was in order to get us prepared and ready for the coming of the month of Ramadan. We're from the month of Rajab. We are already making the dua that, oh Allah, bless us in Rajab and Shaban and let us see the month of Ramadan. Another dua which is being taught to us, Allahumma sallimni li Ramadan, wa sallim Ramadan li, wa sallimhu li mutaqabbila. That's another dua prior to the coming of the month of Ramadan which has been taught to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, oh Allah, keep me well for Ramadan. So that when Ramadan dawns upon us, we are healthy, we're feeling fresh, we're feeling well, good, and we can fulfill all those beautiful amals and ibadat in the month of Ramadan. So we're making the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, keep us healthy, oh Allah, keep us well, so that when Ramadan dawns upon us, we will wake up for sehri, we will be able to stand for 20 rakats of taraweeh. There will be no excuses, there will be no hurdles as such. وَسَلِّمْ رَمَضَانَ لِي. And make Ramadan conducive for me. So that it will be easy for me to carry out all those amals and ibadat. It should not be that some calamity befalls us. Something happens, it becomes extremely hot, or there's other calamities, then it becomes very difficult for us to spend Ramadan in a beautiful way. وَسَلِّمْهُ لِي مُتَقَبِّلًا. And oh Allah, let my amals and my ibadat in the month of Ramadan be worthy of acceptance in your court. That whatever we have done in the month of Ramadan, Allah must accept it. It should not be that we fasted the whole day, but in the courts of Allah it's not accepted. We stayed hungry the entire day, but because of certain other evils in our lives, we did not gain the acceptance in the court of Allah. So therefore we're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever amals we are going to do in the month of Ramadan, it should be acceptable in the courts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sahaba Ikram used to make dua to Allah 6 months prior to the coming of the month of Ramadan that they should see the month of Ramadan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must accept the amals and the ibadat. So we also should make dua to Allah. We should already have a program in place that in this month that is going to dawn upon us, in this Mubarak month, I am going to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I am going to exert myself in these amals and these ibadat. First of all, let us come on to 5-time daily salah. Let us understand and realize that the month of Ramadan is dawning upon us. In the month of Ramadan, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has emphasized the Taraweeh Salah. But prior to that, it is important for us to realize the 5 times Farz Salah every day. That is the obligation upon each and every person. Before the coming of the month of Ramadan, let us make Tawbah for not being particular on our 5-time daily Salah. Let us make an azam. Let us have this resolution that as of now, I will never miss a salah. Fajr to Isha. And now coming the month of Ramadan, I will increase in my ibadat. I will be particular with my taraweeh as well. So first of all, become particular of the 5-time daily salah. أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَةِ. The first thing for which we will be reckoned for on the day of Qiyamah is our 5-time daily salah. So we make this azam, we have this firm resolution and intention that inshallah I will never miss a salah from now, in the month of Ramadan, after the month of Ramadan until the day I leave this world. Because the first thing for which we will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah is our salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا فَاتْ مَنْ فَاتَتْهُ صَلَاتٌ فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ. A person who loses one salah, misses one salah, it is as though he has lost his entire family, all his belongings, all his property, whatever wealth he has lost everything. The grief and the sorrow that that person experiences, more than that should be the grief of missing one salah. On the day of Qiyamah, when you see the value of one salah, then you will realize what a great loss it was. So therefore, let us become particular with our 5-time daily salah. Those of us that didn't read our Fajr Salah this morning, let us make Tawbah. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Make Qaza of the Salah. All the Salahs of the past, we have to make Qaza of it. And try to come upon 5-time daily Salah. Together with that, one of the obligations in the month of Ramadan is that of fasting, which we all know. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. Whoever gains the month of Ramadan, fasting is farz upon him. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Oh Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh the believer, oh you believers, we have made fasting compulsory upon you. Kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum, just like how we had made it compulsory upon the nations of before. Yes, perhaps the rules were slightly different, but even the nations of before, fasting was compulsory upon them. And the maqsad of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become Allah conscious. When a person is fasting, he has all the opportunity of eating, of drinking, of having a glass of water. He has all the opportunity. Many a times there's nobody watching you, nobody looking at you. But you realize that you are fasting. And you know for a fact that I am fasting for the sake of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Therefore you will not put anything into your mouth. So this entire 30 days, entire month of Ramadan, you have been abstaining from those three things, eating, drinking and cohabitation. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in itself is a sign of taqwa. Is a sign of Allah consciousness. And this is to create that Allah consciousness within us. Allah in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَفْضَلَ الْإِيمَانِ أَن تَعْلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَكَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْ. The best of iman is this, that a person understands, then he realizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him wherever he is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over him. So one of the main compulsory duties and aspects of the month of Ramadan is that of fasting. If a person has an excuse, perhaps some ailment, some illness, then it is necessary for him to go to a Muslim doctor, pious Muslim doctor, and take his advice. We cannot just make flimsy excuses and stay away from fasting because it is a farz of deen. It is compulsory. Yes, if a Muslim doctor advises you and he tells you that for you and as far as your health is concerned, you cannot fast, then you can take his advice. But we should take the advice of a pious Muslim doctor. You cannot go to a disbeliever. You cannot go to a non-Muslim doctor and take his advice. Even if his advice is correct, you still have to go to a Muslim doctor and take his advice. Because a disbeliever, a kafir, he does not know the value of fasting. He doesn't know the value of one sawm, one roza. So you cannot take his advice. You have to go to a Muslim doctor. And perhaps he will find a way out for you so that you can keep your fast. He'll prescribe something for you at the time of sehri, at the time of iftar, and at the time just before you go to bed. And make it possible for you to fast. But a non-Muslim doctor, he doesn't understand the value of fasting. So he will just prescribe no fasting for you. So the masla is that you have to go to a Muslim doctor and find out regarding your ailment, your situation, whether you can fast or not. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَإِحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. That a person who fasts in the month of Ramadan with complete conviction and iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all his past sins. From Ramadan to Ramadan, all the gunas and sins Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. That is what we require. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith of Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzibi. That fasting is for me and I personally will reward the person for it. Other ibadat, you will get your rewards, angels will record it. When it comes to fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will personally reward you. Personally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for that fasting and the roza that you keep. The other very important aspect in the month of Ramadan is that of Taraweeh. Taraweeh, there's two aspects to it. One is the salah itself, the 20 rakats. And the other is the tilawat of the Quran in Taraweeh. The khatam of the Quran in Taraweeh, these are two separate sunnahs. One is just to read the Taraweeh, the 20 rakats. You'll find many people going from place to place, you know, listening to this Qari and that Qari, and they're going from place to place. And the entire month, they made no khatam of the Quran. So the making a khatam of the Quran in Taraweeh is a sunnah on its own. And the 20 rakats of Taraweeh is a sunnah as well. So let us make an azam that this year, inshallah, all of us will be reading the 20 rakats Taraweeh complete, and we will make it a point of standing for the complete Taraweeh, listening to every word of the Quran by the Hafiz al-Quran, which is recited in Salah. One of the main aspects of Salah is Tilawat of Quran. Tilawat of Quran is a very important aspect of the Salah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Munafiqeen, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the munafiqeen, he says that when they stand up for salah, They stand up very lazily. قَوْمُ كُسَالَ يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They only performing salah because they want to show the people that, okay, we part of you. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They do not remember Allah but a little. This remembering Allah in salah refers to the tilawat of the Quran in salah. And unfortunately, tarawih time you will find many people coming to the masjid. This is a sign of nifaq and hypocrisy. We have to be very, very watchful over ourselves. Imagine sahaba like Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, always fearful lest there be nifaq and hypocrisy in our hearts. So we have to always be conscious and very, very worried and concerned lest there is nifaq in our hearts. So you'll find a person, he can't stay at home because the woman folk at home will say, what you doing at home? Everybody's gone to the masjid for tarawih. So what you doing here? Go to the masjid. So he doesn't stay at home because he can't stay there. Mother is chasing him from the house. Granny is chasing him from the house. Or sister, whoever, they reading tarawih at home. So he comes to the masjid. But when he comes to the masjid, after the Isha Salah, he's standing outside. He's smoking. He's busy talking. Or he sits in the back. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. The sign of a munafiq, he doesn't want to remember Allah but a little in the salah. He sits in the back. When the hafiz is about to go into ruku, then quickly he joins the tarawih. And then the second rakat he's shaking about. Because he got caught now. In the first rakat he managed only being part of the standing. Now in the second rakat you find he's shaking about, moving from side to side. You see, kusala, lazily. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ. He stands very lazily, shaking from one side to the other side. يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ. Just to show his face in the masjid that I am there. So let us make this azam and have this firm desire in our heart that this year I am going to read complete tarawih, 20 rakats. And I'm going to read the complete Quran in Tarawih. In other words, I'm going to listen to the complete Quran in Tarawih. Let us appreciate the fact, there's so many calls from throughout the world for huffaz. The darulums and the madaris are inundated with calls that we want huffaz for this country and that country and that country. We are so fortunate in this country. We have such good huffaz who sacrifice the entire month, and they are going over their work, they revise, they make sacrifice, and they stand on the musalla to read the 20 rakats, or to make it possible for us to hear the entire Quran. Now imagine we showing such a lousy and such a lazy attitude towards that qurbani that is being made by this huffaz of Quran, by this huffaz, such a lazy attitude we are showing to them. So, one very important aspect of Ramadan, which is also a highlight of Ramadan. If you read the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith of Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, mention is made that you're fasting during the day and you're standing in ibadat and tarawih during the night. You're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a mubarak month, one of the highlights of the month of Ramadan is your tarawih. So let us at least complete one khatam of the Quran in Tarawih. Then also very important is Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. This is the month where Allah revealed the Quran. It is the right, the minimum right of the Quran. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, the minimum right of the Quran is you make two khatams for the year. One for the entire year and one khatam in the month of Ramadan. How unfortunate if a person in this Mubarak month, in the month of the Quran, Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, in this month, he fails to make tilawat of the Quran. Unfortunately, with the cell phones and the internet, and many people are whiling away their time, wasting their time where so much of time can be spent in the tilawat of the Quran. If a person after every salah reads only 5 pages, after every salah you read 5 pages, you will make one para for the day. And within the month, you'll make the khatam of the Quran. Just 5 pages after every salah. So now you are focused, you are reading your salah also. You are not going to miss a salah. After the salah, you will read 5 pages of the Quran. And by the end of the day, you made one khatam of the Quran. I mean one para, and by the end of the month you've made a khatam of the Quran. Simple. It's only we need to be focused. La ikraha fi din. There's no difficulty in deen. Deen is easy. All we need to do is become conscious, have the enthusiasm, and be eager to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very, very easy for us. It should not be, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. It should not be that on the day of Qiyamah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complains against us. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that my people had shunned the Quran. Those of us that don't know how to read Quran, this is the opportunity for you to lift your hands, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make azam, you know, that I am going to learn how to read Quran. It's never too late to learn how to read Quran. Many adult classes take place, come to the imam of the masjid and tell him to teach you. If every day you spend half an hour, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you to learn. There's nothing difficult about learning. There's nothing difficult. It's only for us to make that effort. You see, when it comes to the dunya, how quickly we learn it. You know, the cell phone, you know, and internet, all those things, very quickly we learn all that. Especially if it's got to do with our dunya and our business, etc. Very quickly we learn it. Many years ago when they swapped over from that one GTS or that tax and they changed it to VAT, many people were confused, but they learned it very fast. Why? Because it had to do with the business. They even found all the loopholes in it too. They found very quickly you learn it. Why? It's got to do with the dunya. So with your akhirat, learning Quran, even if you don't manage learning or perfecting the Quran, just the effort that you make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for it. Person who's for some reason doesn't know how to read Quran as yet, open the Quran. Open the Quran. Put your finger on the words of the Quran. And make an effort. Go through the words. At least that much too. One person did not know how to read Quran, used to put his finger on the Quran and say, Hada kalamu Rabbi, Hada kalamu Rabbi, these are the words of my Allah, these are the words of my Lord. Hazrat Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala used to take the Quran out of respect and adab for the Quran, used to kiss the Quran, put it on his head, and used to say, Hada kalamu Rabbi also. These are the words of my Rabb. See, so a person can just run his fingers on the words of the Quran. Spend some time with this Quran. Allah will give you tawfiq and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you to learn how to read the Quran also. So that's one very important aspect. Spending time with the Quran in the month of Ramadan, most unfortunate will be that person where Ramadan passes by and he hasn't opened the Quran. Or he hasn't spent time with the Quran. Another very important aspect in the month of Ramadan is that of giving charity. Many people in the month of Ramadan take out their zakat. Although it is not compulsory to give your zakat only in Ramadan. But for some reason everybody has fixed their dates in the month of Ramadan. We need to go to the ulama and speak to them and find out from them regarding the setting of a date. You cannot just take out money at any given time, whenever you feel like, and say, right, okay, this is my zakat. You have to have a specific date. On that specific date, you have to sit down and calculate your assets minus your liabilities, and 2.5% of that will be your zakat. More regarding this, we don't have the time to explain that, but more regarding this, go to the imam of the masjid, go to the ulama, go to the muftis, and find out from them. How should I work out my zakat, calculate my zakat, and give out my zakat? There's three very important aspects to zakat. One is that it is an ibadat. It is not a tax. Just like how fasting is an ibadat, salah is an ibadat, tilawat of the Quran is an ibadat, hajj is an ibadat, zakat is an ibadat. The day you sit down to calculate your zakat, you are getting sawab for it. The day you take out that money, you are getting sawab. You distribute it, you are getting sawab for it. So it is an ibadat. We should never ever regard zakat as a tax. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu waged war against those people that refused to give zakat. Because zakat is an integral and an important aspect of deen. A person who refutes zakat, a person who regards zakat as tax, he loses his iman. You have to be very, very particular with regard to this. Never regard zakat as a tax and don't ever regard it as a burden. But be happy that you are giving your wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that very wealth which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you. The second aspect is that it also involves hukukul ibad. The first part is hukukullah, it is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is hukukul ibad, it is the right of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third aspect of zakat is this, that it removes the love for dunya from the heart. When a person takes out his zakat and he spends it in the path of Allah, he distributes it, then the love for the dunya comes out of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies him and purifies his wealth also, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects him as far as his wealth is concerned. When a person takes out his zakat and he goes to the poor man's house and he distributes it, goes there, sits in his house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes humility and humbleness to come in him. Brings about love and unity between the poor and the rich. See, it removes animosity, hatred, etc. And also when the rich man goes to the poor man's house to give out that zakat, then gratitude and shukr in his heart comes for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. It's very easy to take all your zakat and give it to an organization or to give it to somebody to distribute it on your behalf. I'm not saying don't give it to the organizations, give them. But take out a small portion from there and find somebody where you can go to him and give it out yourself. Go to some poor area, go to some place, go jump out of your car, go to the man's house and give him that zakat of yours. Yes, you might not be able to give all of your zakat in that way, but at least a small amount. Even if it's a 5,000 or a 2,000 or a 500 rand, whatever you can take out and go to the poor man's house, that's the actual thing in zakat, where it creates the unity between the rich and the poor. If the poor man is forced to come to the door of the rich man all the time, the first thing, hatred and animosity between the rich and the poor. When the poor man is going to knock on the door of the rich man and he's going to see his mansion he has, jealousy and hatred is going to come in his heart. He's going to become ungrateful for what Allah has given him back home also. And this is going to create a barrier between the rich and the poor. So sometimes let us take our zakat, go to the home of the poor man, and those that take out their zakat in Ramadan, then they should at least take out some time and go. It's a very, very, auspicious month also, and an opportune moment also and time where you can go to the poor man's house and distribute your zakat in this way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Just to encapsulate what was mentioned is that one is to become particular of our 5-time daily salah. Make tawbah and istighfar if you have been missing salah in the past. You have to make qaza of those salahs. The other is the aspect of fasting. It is compulsory. Each and every person must fast. Even make the little children in the homes fast. Make sure that they fast. Those women folk at home that have missed salahs because of the haze or nifas, we have to encourage them to make up for those fasts. And just like how you have to encourage your little children to read their salah at the age of 7 and reprimand them at the age of 10 if they don't perform their salah, likewise with the fasting also. You have to encourage them from the age of 7 or before that, and you have to reprimand them at the age of 10 if they don't keep fast. And then the third thing which we made mention of, tilawat of the Quran. Let us become particular with the tilawat of the Quran, the taraweeh, salah as well. Being generous in the month of Ramadan, those that are giving this zakat, be particular how you calculate your zakat, who you distribute your zakat to. And one final thing is that spend as much time as possible in dua in the month of Ramadan. There's opportune moments at the time of iftar, at the time of sehri, during the day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, at least one dua of a fasting person every day is accepted. And we should have yaqeen on these words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should spend as much time as possible in making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.